The sermon, perhaps you saw this, is The Art of Sin. Whoa. Now, when I was in high school, I was a math and science guy. I mean, I liked objectivity. You have a problem, you figure it out with logic and reason, and there's one answer. It just is simple. Of course, I'm not at the peak of my mathematical prowess like I was back in the day. However, I still remember something from algebra, okay? The quadratic equation, x equals minus b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. High school students, yes? Is this good? Yes? Yeah? Okay. I liked math and science. I didn't take any art classes. I didn't feel that I was that good at them, although I liked creativity. An English class, I appreciated. Great skills. But there were times in English that I'm like, where's the answer? And, I couldn't find it. Well, today, thinking about sin, there is the science of sin. Are you ready? It's bad, and you have it. There you go, the science of sin. But the art of sin. Maybe you think to yourself, actually, I'm pretty good at that art. The brushstrokes of depravity painted the canvas of my life. Did you like that sentence? I worked hard on that one. To be honest with you, the art of sin, for one of the reasons why I said that is because it's really a heart issue, and in your heart, everything isn't always so cut and dried. Years ago, I gave a sermon on food. In that sermon, I said this: one donut is fine, two donuts is questionable, and three donuts in one sitting is just plain wrong. Okay? Now, obviously, you can't, just say that, well, what about two and a half donuts, and all of this. We can sin with food. But ultimately, it's in the heart, and sometimes that's hard to weigh and balance, what's going on within us. So I am going to talk a little bit this morning about heart issues. But actually, full disclosure, I just like the title, The Art of Sin. It just sounded kind of funny to me for a sermon title. Full disclosure, really the title is The Art on How to Deal with Sin. Okay, so the art on how to deal with sin. And for that, we are going to look to God's Word. 1 John chapter 1, I will begin reading at verse 5. The art of dealing with sin. 1 John 1, begin reading at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Continuing on in chapter 2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. If you're reading along in the Bibles, in the pews there is a heading that says, Walking in the Light. The theme of my message is walk in the light. This is clear from this passage. It's about walking in the light. Now, this is a very broad theme. You could have an entire sermon series on walk in the light, but what we're going to do this morning is zero in on this passage, and what does this passage in 1 John say about walking in the light? The art of dealing with sin. And actually, art is a little acronym I came up with. A, acknowledge. R, repent. And T, trust. When we acknowledge sin, repent, and trust in Jesus, we are walking in the light. We're dealing with the sin. And in this passage, you do this, then you are walking in the light. Now, before we get to that A, acknowledge, I want us to spend just a moment thinking about the light and the dark. So I have two lights with me. This is like a children's sermon for grown-ups. You can stay in your seats. Or would you like to come forward? That'd be kind of fun. No, it's, now I have a little LED flashlight here. See, it works. And there are some people, I'm going to use this as a path. It's not a good path, but you're good people, okay? I'm not implying anything. Some people say, I'm going to live the way I want to live. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I define what is right, what is wrong, what is good for me. This is a faith statement, and a faith statement is kind of like a light. You use it to kind of live your life. And so here it is. Here is the light. Oh, now I'm going to live the life I want to, and here is my path. You will notice the light is rather small, not too bright. Kind of the reason why, because it's based on the person. It doesn't shine too far ahead. But the person is holding it, and then they can control that light. There are other people. Here's the other light. It is this path over here. And these people will say, you know what? I do believe in ultimate right and wrong, that there are absolute truths in this universe, and I'm not too good, but you know what? I'm going to be as good as I can be. I will do all the religious things that I can do. It'll make me feel better that, yes, I'm doing good, and I can live a right way. And so here they are, holding the light, controlling their lives, relying on their strength to do their religious deeds to make them feel better about how they live. I'm going to just decide my own way, or I'm just going to rely on myself to be as good as I can be. Again, both of these, the lights aren't too bright. You're holding them. You're controlling them. You're in control. I have something else. Ha, 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 ha. Now we have some power, friends. We have a 500-watt halogen. If I was in a high school class, I would shine this in all their faces and laugh. I won't do that, though. That would be... All right, now we've got some light going here. Ah, yes. Is it in your face? Sorry, we'll tilt it up. I won't keep this on the whole sermon. Now, friends, this light is behind me. I'm not holding it. In fact, if I held, well, it's safe, but this light is hot. It could burn. This light illumines me. It actually shows me who I am. I am valuable. I am frail. I am sinful. It shows that. This light also is so bright that it points the way forward. It is a light that really lights up the space. And in that sense, it is a hopeful light as well. I would like to say that this light is the light of God as talked about in 1 John. This is the light of Jesus Christ. And it is the strong light for our lives. And if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I would just invite you to listen to these words and listen to the claims of Christ as the light. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I guess my question for you is, does your talk match your walk? Here is the light, and the way you say you believe, is it the way you live your life in the path of the light of Jesus Christ? This light is strong. John says here, this is the light. And why does he say it? He says it because I saw Jesus. I heard Jesus. I saw him do the miracles. I heard his teaching. I saw Jesus die on the cross. And yes, unbelievable, I saw him rise again. This is the light for our lives. Now, what is the problem with this light? This light defines how we are to live. I cannot change this light. The problem is it hurts pride. We humans want more control. And this light hurts our pride because we can't hide from it. It reveals what's in our hearts. Well, Bible says here, you can't run from it, so you better acknowledge it. And in walking in the light, that is our first point, acknowledge. Turn this off. There we go. Acknowledge. We need to acknowledge sin. We need to be honest. 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, Now, there are people, of course, that say, what sin? I don't go down that road. There are some people that say, well, I know there's sin, but people are worse than me, so I'm all right. And there's also people that say, I am a creep. I am shameful. People really don't know me, and it's not good. And they just live with this shame and this guilt. Now, what does the Bible say in terms of the art of dealing with sin? Step one is to be honest. Be honest with yourself. Acknowledge sin. Now, it says here in 1 John, confess. Confess sin. The word confess actually means acknowledge. Now, if you confess your faith, that means agree. This is what I agree with. I confess my faith. If you confess sin, you acknowledge this is not in the light of God. This is wrong according to God's standard of right. So acknowledge sin. And too often, people simply do not acknowledge sin. In the Old Testament, there was a king, Jehoiakim. This king was king of Judah's southern kingdom. He was ungodly. He practiced idol worship. He tolerated idol worship. He did not follow the Lord. And here's what it says in Jeremiah 36, in the 9th month of the 5th year of Jehoiakim, this ungodly king, he decreed a time of fasting before the Lord. Do you know what this guy was doing? Actually, he was living this way, I'm going to do what I want to do, and he was living this way, I'm now going to act all religious, and because I act religious in my religious deeds, then God will do what I want. King after him, Zedekiah was made king by Babylon, but then he turned his back on Babylon. The guy was nervous, and here's what the Bible says about him. Neither he nor his attendants nor the people of the land paid any attention to the words spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah's words were God's word. They ignored it. All right? Then King Zedekiah, however, sent two men to Jeremiah with this message, please pray to the Lord for us. They're walking this way, and then they're like, oh, Jeremiah, God will listen to him. Please pray. They weren't even acknowledging their sin at all. They weren't being honest with what was going on in their heart. Now, to step on your toes a little, but this leads us to a good place. The sermon leads to hope. But when we acknowledge sin, it is important to feel some of the heat of it. And the question simply is, what sins do you struggle with in your life? And be honest about that within. Now, you know, the Bible says, confess your sins. Yes, it is appropriate to pray, O Lord, forgive us of our sin. It's fine, but we shouldn't leave it there. It says confess sins. It means be honest with what's going on in your heart and name them, confess them. This is something I am doing and it is wrong. Many people obviously trust in things, certain things more than God. They'll trust in money. They'll trust in modern medicine. They'll trust in power or ability to control more than God. Some people are just not nice toward others. They will gossip, say things behind the back. They will speak unkind words. Or they'll look good on the outside, but on the inside, thinking unkind thoughts. Just whenever they think about someone, it is just unkind thoughts on the inside. We need to be honest about that. God sees this. Being honest with ourselves means also, you know, I mentioned food earlier, you know. Is there a sinful way with that? I don't know. View of self. What sins are you struggling with? One that I'd like to bring up, because I think about this one, and it's just a big one in our world today, is our screen use, whether small, medium, large, or extra large, our screen use. And it's obvious that our screen use in modern America, say, has just gone way up recently. Obviously, there's a lot of good uses. But what about your screen use? Honestly, one is quantity. How much? You know, it's interesting that TV companies, cable companies, will advertise something as a plus for your life. Guess what? Do you want to improve your life? Binge watch. What fun. You get to binge watch. Now, friends, if you do, okay, fine, just do less, all right? But think about that. In eternity, I doubt any of us will be like, oh, man, I should have watched more TV. You know, I highly doubt that. And the point is not for me to condemn TV. It is to bring up a heart issue. What's for you and for me could be different on this. It could, and we should acknowledge that. But still, the quantity could be too much. And God is saying, no, you're feeding more on the world than you're feeding on me. I'll have students that will tell me, I want to grow more on my faith. Honestly, I want to grow more. But if I observe their life, you know what's happening, honestly, they're feeding more on messages from the world through the screen than they're on feeding on God. So of course your faith isn't going to be doing too well because of what you're feeding on. The quantity, but also quality as well. I'm not going to dwell on this, but this is a huge problem in the world, in America, and in the church. And it is sensuality on the screen. This week, many people sitting in this room are going to see, search out, or be encountered with, not searching out, sensuality on the screen. This is not walking in the light. It is sin before God. And so often we say, well, it's not that bad, or other people are worse, or real just quick, or all these excuses. We need to just say, this is bad. It is awful. It is sin, and we need to acknowledge it. Now, I want to give you a little example of going through my week here with the screen. All right? I like to stay up with the news, so I often read the news online. I'm kind of picky on the websites that I use because some websites I have found are just very good in terms of, all right, here's the news. And some websites is, here's the news, and, ooh, click on this, click on this, click on that. You know, all of these other things that I'm not interested in, but I see them. So I'm reading the news. Now, when I read the news, I do not really get into entertainment news, all right? I'll read maybe three, four headlines in the entertainment section, okay, just so I'm aware, and I'll move on. For myself, I have just found, now this is a hard issue, for myself, if I'm reading a lot of entertainment news, it just doesn't do good things in my heart, okay? And that's me, okay? It's a hard issue. I'm not saying if you read five stories, you're sinful, two stories, fine. I'm not saying that, but it's a hard issue. Anyway, so I'm reading news. Oh, now I see an entertainment news story that I've heard my students talk about, and I go, you know what? I really want to know just a little bit more about this. And that's good, okay? So I click on that to read that story. Okay, fine. But then that story may take me to another news website that I don't want to go to, that I didn't plan to go to, and all of a sudden, there are side things that are very sensual, kind of begging you to click on it. Just like that, it happens, and you have to make a decision. What am I going to do? I will tell you with all of my heart, I want to follow the Lord, and part of that means every click of the mouse or touch of the screen matters, and I need to acknowledge what's going on in my heart with this. We need to do this. Part of walking in the light is to acknowledge our sin and confess it, not make excuses, to be honest with what's going on in our heart. So that's acknowledge. Second, repent of the art. Repent. 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Now, this verse implies repentance because it implies not walking in the sin anymore, turning away from the sin. More explicitly, Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Turn. So when I was in college, I worked in a summer camp, and camp counselors get to know each other. And there was one woman who, how do I say this politely? She was like out of my league. I don't know. She thought I was a fun and funny guy. We got to know each other. And quite frankly, I kind of felt, ooh, spending time with her. Oh, I like this. Okay, this is nice, you know. And so we never dated or anything, but we did talk a lot, spent time together, and oh, yeah. And as I got to know her, I saw some areas of pride in her life. And it came up once in our conversation. I said, well, why don't you change this? And I remember what she said. She said, you know what? I know I'm prideful in this area, and that's part of my personality, and I'm not going to change. And when I heard that, she was, to be honest, not as attractive to me anymore. There was this stubbornness and putting your feet in and digging them in and saying, I'm not going to change. Repentance is a humility that acknowledges the sin and then says, I need to change. Now, you and I will use confession and repentance interchangeably. Like, I confess my sin, I repent of my sin, and that's fine. I mean, we do that. Just for the sake of this message, I'm kind of looking at repentance as like the big category, And underneath repentance is confession. So confession is the acknowledgement, which is a part of repentance. I acknowledge it. And then the repentance is I turn. And the analogy of this room, I'm walking this way. I confess my sin, and then I turn and face the path of rightness, God's path. It's not just, okay, that's wrong, and then I just enjoy it more. It's, no, I need to turn. Repentance is turning. So in your life, there are certain sins that you may commit, and like you turn immediately. You're like, this is bad. And you turn, okay? But to be honest, there are some sins that we commit, we confess, we repent, and then all we're back at it, okay? And then we're back at it. Thankfully, the grace of God is patient and amazing. It's not just adequate grace, it's amazing grace. And here we are, like this, we repent, and we're right back. This is our struggle with sin. And here's what I'd like to say about repentance. Friends, take it seriously. The Bible says we must wage war against the sin that is within us. Don't take it lightly. And so, if there is a sin, commit, and oh my, you know, and then maybe you're fine. But the sins where you keep turning back on, like this means you need to up the level of the battle against this sin. And I would say simply three things in your repentance. First of all, pray on your knees before God like you never have before. Go to the book of Psalms. The psalmists often pour out their hearts to God. Psalm 51 is probably the best psalm of confession in the whole book. I've done this before myself. I'd like, oh my, I need to seek God and I need Psalm 51. And just go over that psalm, pray through that psalm, and spend time, not just a little, for the deeper sins, spend time seeking God. Secondly, enlist support of the Christian community. And in your case, support is a trusted friend or couple friends that you confess your sin to. I need help. I need help from others. And then third would be you need to create boundaries in your own life. It may be boundaries other people don't have to do, but you do because you've struggled with this. You know, I tell my students I have this house that my wife and I live in. It's my stuff. I let my kids use it. I don't charge them too much room and board. Well, okay, I don't. My wife made me not. It's my stuff. And I, you know what? Movies, okay? Movies can be wonderful, and they can be massively hazardous. I don't have to do this, but I have just said to myself, to help keep me... Any movie I watch, it is either with my wife or I tell her. And it's hardly ever that happens. But there is just, I don't have to do that. This is my TV, it's my, I don't have to tell her. But to walk on the right path, I want to create boundaries, rules in my life. The Bible doesn't say you have to do that. Okay, fine, I'm not telling you, everybody, you have to do that. But what's good for you to create some rules in your life to say, you know what, I can't go there. I just know my heart. I can't do this. I'm going to, you know, be accountable this way. Confess into these people and seek God like I never have before. This is part of walking in the light, is confessing our sin and repenting of our sin, which involves turning. And then last, trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. What is your focus on? Very often we just focus on other things when we need to focus on Jesus in this whole area of dealing with sin. 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. Why does God cleanse us? Why does God forgive us? Well, 1 John 2. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the propitiation for our sins. How many of you said the word propitiation in the last month? Okay, no, we have not. Propitiation of our sins, not only ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This message of Jesus is not just to the people John is talking about. The message of Jesus is to be proclaimed to the whole world. Come to me, your sins will be forgiven. Trust in Jesus. Jesus paid the price for our sin, his sacrifice. Interestingly, propitiation, even though we don't use that word, they put that in there because it does explain an important concept. Sin is so evil, so opposite the holiness of God, that sin necessarily deserves God's wrathful judgment. Wrath, meaning anger, judgment towards sin. Propitiation is the appeasement of God's wrath. Jesus Christ took the judgment we deserved, the judgment that is wrathful judgment. Jesus took that upon himself so that we could be forgiven of our sin. This is the hopefulness. Some people ignore sin. And you know what? Even if you ignore it, sin still has its consequences. It will still burn you, even if you say, who cares? Some people will say, I can do it on my own strength. I'll be good enough. But nobody can be good enough, and it just wears us out, or we live in guilt and shame. And the beauty, the blessing of Jesus being our propitiation is that simply we are clean. We are forgiven. Now, there are consequences to sin. This is baked into the order of the universe. There are consequences. Some sins have greater consequences. It's just the way life is. When you sin, and even when you reap the negative consequences of your sin, the negative consequences doesn't mean that you are unrighteous, you are guilty, you are shameful. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven 100%. Just you are forgiven. And for some people, it is really hard to let go of the guilt and the shame. Some people, the sin was very public, and that public shame drags them down. What does God's word say? Look to Jesus. He is your hope. Let go. Some people go through life, and on the outside they look pretty good, but inside it is a grip with shame. People really do not know what goes on inside here and here. Focus on Jesus. Look to his forgiveness. You are clean. Some people will use this word, the phrase, I can't forgive myself. The Bible never talks about forgiving yourself. The Bible says, look to Jesus, and he forgives you. Let go of that burden. You were not meant to carry it. The grace of God makes you clean. And so, friends, in this week ahead, I will just leave this thing pointed up. There we go. As we think about walking in the light in this week ahead, we need to deal. We need to deal with the art in relation to sin. I would encourage you to be honest with your heart, with your sin. Come to God with that honesty and seek His face. Repent of that sin. Repentance meaning, God, your way is the best way. I want to walk in your way. And then don't focus on the sin, the shame, and the guilt. You have looked to Jesus and receive the freedom and the blessing of righteousness that He offers your life. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, please shine the light of Jesus into our hearts. Where we are ignoring sin or just not wanting to acknowledge it, please turn us in your direction. May we walk in the light. Please forgive us, O Lord, and please give us the great hope that the light of Jesus offers. Please give us the righteousness of Jesus that this light offers as well. We thank you, O God, for giving your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for that cost, high cost of that sacrifice. And now may we respond to your grace with lives that please and honor you. And we pray this in the matchless and mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.